Am I all in for God? That's the question we'll be finishing this morning as our oldest son, Stephen Huffman, finishes his message with that title. Listen very carefully, with the Word of God open, your heart open, and your responses ready to say yes to Him.
Some of you maybe are standing before the prospect of marriage and it scares you. You're not quite sure. You know, divorce rates are high. Is this thing even going to work? Let me tell you, marriage is a good thing. Jump in. Get involved. You're two sinners learning to live together. You'll have to say, I'm sorry. You'll make mistakes. But go ahead and get in. Maybe some of you guys need to ask that girl out today for a date. Have some positive faith that it will work out. Maybe she's losing her eyesight. She'll say yes, okay? So have faith. Maybe some of you are standing before a job opportunity and you say, I don't know. That looks too big for me. I don't know if I can do that. The responsibilities are bigger. I don't know if I can shoulder that. And God says, have faith. If that's what I want for you, do it. Maybe some of you are standing before surrendering to the ministry. You're in a nice job now. You're meeting the family's needs. But God is calling you to some type of full-time Christian service and you're wrestling with it and you're wrestling with it and you're wrestling with it. And God says, I have a life of blessing over here for you. I'm calling you to serve me in a full-time way. Will you have faith that my plan for you is best? Yes, there are giants out there. Yes, there are obstacles. Yes, it won't be easy. But if God calls you to do something, His grace will sustain you to do it. I don't know what your promised land is that God is calling you to do. God has a future for Morningside Baptist Church. God has used us for 58 years almost here at Morningside. But God has who knows how many years for Morningside ahead of us. We need to, by faith, be looking forward and saying, God, what do you want Morningside to do? What do you want Morningside to be? How do you want us to grow? How do you want us to take the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world and right here in Greenville? We can't just sit back on our laurels and say, look what we've done. Look at the facilities we have. Look at the people we have. We've got some nice people here. We have well-educated people here. We have friendly people here. This is good. We don't need any more. Does your neighbor not need Jesus? Does everybody you know go to a good Bible-preaching church? Folks, there's a future ahead of Morningside, and we can't sit back and talk about what we used to be. We've got to go forward to what God has for us for the future. By faith, resting on the promises of God's Word. God said He'll build His church. So Caleb was familiar with God's Word. Caleb was also responsible to take personal action. Look at what he said in Joshua 14, verse 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Give me the mountain. He was ready to get in the game. I'm ready to go take them. Give me the word. Blow the trumpet. I'm 85, but I'm ready to go. He was a worker. He wasn't a whiner. If you contrast that with the two tribes of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, they got their inheritance and they felt like it was too small. This is not big enough for us. And you know what Joshua challenged them to do? If you want a bigger portion, go get it. Go out there and conquer it. Caleb wasn't sitting back and saying, hey, I wish somebody would go conquer that mountain for me and give it to me. I'm going to be over here at Caleb's estate sipping iced tea and sitting in my rocker waiting on you to tell me when my mountain's ready. He was a worker saying, I'm ready to get in there and get it. Not a whiner. You look around here at Morningside and say, I see all kinds of things that could change. Then get involved. Help it change. Get it corrected. Don't just whine. Serve. You sit around your house and say, I don't like this and I don't like that. Well, then dads, maybe you need to help your wife. You don't like the tone of your house? Get in God's word with your family and say, hey, we need to change the tone of our house. We're not talking godly with each other. Maybe you don't like the way things are going at work. You need to take God's word and say, hey, let me tell you how we ought to work around here. God's word says to be honest with each other. And God's word says to do this and do that. And that's how I'm going to operate. Quit whining about everything that's going wrong in your life and start working to correct it. So Caleb not only was a worker, not a whiner, but he also relied on God's help. He says, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. You know, this was not a name it and claim it faith. You know, if I say it, I can do it. I don't believe that. I'm not into the Hallmark principle of life. You can do anything you want to do. You know, follow your heart. That's just not reality, is it? You can do anything God wants you to do with God's help. And Caleb was relying on God's help. Hey, if the Lord's with me, he knew he would need God's presence. If so be, the Lord will be with me. He needed God's power. Then I shall be able to drive them out. And he had God's promise, as the Lord hath said. One author was talking about fear. And you know what? So many times that's what we face. Instead of positive faith, we're battling our own fears. It says, your fear level is ultimately a referendum on the closeness of your friendship with God. It's a spiritual yardstick. Do you see things in human dimensions or godly ones? After you spend time with your Creator, you're simply incapable of shrinking in fear at the appearance of every human anxiety. You've seen His power. You've seen His love and faithfulness. You've seen that His purposes are the best for us. If you have the fear of God, as we used to say, you won't fear the things of this world. If you don't have the fear of God, then everything else is to be feared. Boy, we need a church full of people with some positive faith that we're going to go forward for God. If God wants us to do something, we're going to rely on His presence, we're going to rely on His power, and we're going to rely on His promises to do what we need to do. So I ask of you this morning, do you have a positive faith? And then the last thing we need, if we're going to be all in for God, is an enduring faith. An enduring faith. You know, age didn't stop Joshua. How old was he here? 85 years old. That's old. If you haven't been there yet, that's old. I'm not there. I don't know if I'll even make it there. That's old. But Caleb was willing to serve God, even in his older years. George Mueller was the type of man, you know him as the man who worked with orphans. But at the age of 70, Mueller decided the time had come for a change. When most of us would be thinking of a retirement home, he looked for a global parish. He traveled some 200,000 miles. And this was before the age of the airplane. He visited 42 countries and preached at least 6,000 times. For over 17 years, he was a living demonstration to hundreds of thousands of people that God is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. At 91, Mueller said, I am very near the end of my earthly pilgrimage. Still, I am able to work every day and all day, too. I preach 5 or 6 times a week besides. I am unspeakably happy. Morningside has a fair amount of people that are older. And I want to challenge you. It's not time to sit on the sidelines. It's time to serve God all the way till the end. With all the strength you have, until the end of your life, will you be a Caleb? It's not time to sit back and say, well, I did that, or I used to do that. If you have the strength, I understand strength is limiting, health is limiting, care for other family maybe is limiting. I'm not ignorant of those things. But with all the strength you do have, all the time that you do have, all the energy that you do have, are you all in for God all the way till your dying breath? Obstacles didn't stop him. There were still giants in the land. Caleb was ready to go get them. And you know what? Life didn't stop him. We see a picture of a man at 40 that was wholeheartedly following God. And then we have a picture of him over here at 85. What do we see of Caleb? He was still going for God, wasn't he? You know, it doesn't matter so much how you start the race, it's how you finish the race. And I want to challenge you, some of you maybe are in the race of life and you're falling and you need to get back up. And you fall and you need to get back up. Sometimes you sin and we all sin and you need to get it right and you need to get back up. It's not time to say, well, this Christian life is just hard. It's too hard to live right. Get back up. Be like Hebrews, where you lay aside the sin which does easily beset you and run with patience the race that is set before you. Or be like the proverb, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Are you in the Christian race and you've fallen? And this morning you need to get back up. You need to get back all in to the game. You've got some sin maybe you need to get taken care of. Maybe you've grown apathetic. Maybe you've kind of said, let other people do it. There's a poem about a little boy who was running a race and he wanted to please his dad even though he kept falling down. And it goes like this: defeat, he lay there silently, a tear dropped from his eye. There's no sense running anymore. I'm out. Why try? I've lost, so what's the use, he thought. I'll live with my disgrace. But then he thought about his dad he'd soon have to face. Get up, an echo sounded low. Get up and take your place. You were not meant for failure here, so get up and finish the race. He resolved that win or lose, at least he wouldn't quit. And to his dad he sadly said, I didn't do so well. To me you won, his father said. You rose each time you fell. And now when things seem dark and hard and difficult to face, the memory of that little boy helps me in my race. For all of life is like that race with ups and downs and all. And all you have to do to win is rise each time you fall. Quit, give up, you're beaten. They still shout in my face. But another voice within me says, get up and win that race. I want to encourage some of you to get up. Get all in for God, with a wholehearted pursuit. For me to live is, fill in the blank, it ought to be Christ. With a willingness to serve, with the courage to lead, with a positive faith and an endurance to the end, an enduring faith. You know, if there's one person that exemplified being all in, it would have to be our Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 17 and verse 4, listen to his testimony. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Boy, at the end of your life, will you be able to lay on your deathbed and say, God, the 80 years you gave me, or 70, I glorified you here. I finished the work. I was all in, all the way to the end. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you've called us to serve you. But Lord, help us not to serve you half-heartedly, apathetically, or even just to sit on the sidelines. Lord, help us to be wholehearted in pursuit of you, to be willing to serve where you want us to serve, to have the courage to lead, have a positive faith and an enduring faith. May we do business with you this morning, God. May we be able to say that we finished the work that you've given us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.